Thank you very much for this invitation to this excellent, distinguished meeting, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure now to move from cases and new mapping options to studies. So we know that in the scenario of VT ablation, the available study and the available patient cohorts and studies is rather limited. So we have learned that catheter ablation can improve symptoms and that catheter ablation can decrease the burden of ventricular tachycardia. However, there are limited data available on outcome and also on the timing of catheter ablation. So what kind of studies do we have? What kind of available data do we have? So I want to step back for a second, just underscoring what has been said in the previous talk. So we encounter a complex, a dynamic, a three-dimensional substrate with the classic depiction of the circuit by Bill Stevenson. And we know that this is a sub, that this can be intramural, that it can be subendocardial, that can be epicardial. So it may really be difficult to target ischemic VT. And we learned about very elegant new mapping methods like this from Anta, who has elegantly shown with a high density tool this kind of figure of eight pattern with a very elegantly depicted area of slow conduction. So it can be possible to really help us with these novel mapping tools, but we know that in the clinical scenario it may be really difficult to get rid of all types of ventricular tachycardia in this ischemic setting. So why are we talking about this? Why are we dealing with these questions? What kind of strategies do we have? What kind of data do we have? And what kind of recent studies and arguments for early VT ablation are available? So the rationale, of course, we all know that the ICD shocks do not really show us that the system is working, but they are also indicating that the patients have a poor prognosis and an impaired quality of life. We know this since Gutheft and other trials. So that's the basis for this. Also the basis for our arguments to conduct studies in this scenario. So we learned that also programming of the ICDs is very crucial to avoid shock, to mainly avoid inappropriate shock, but that the programming of the ICD with a more lenient intervention rate regarding the frequency, but also delayed intervention, leads to reduced inappropriate shock, but may also lead to improved survival, as shown in the Mitre RIT and other trials mentioned here. So this is the basis when we conduct studies and when we think about these studies and when we calculate also the patient which are available or which should be needed and which should be included in such a trial. So this has to be considered before we start. So what kind of strategies do we have? What kind of data do we have from non-randomized or other previous randomized trials? So strategies, this has been stressed already. We know that there are the classic mapping methods around which are still important for us, which are still important also to combine, as we have elegantly seen in the previous talk, when we are talking about LAVA. These are very, very almost historical pictures here, where we're in the initial phase of VT mapping. Also in the 90s, we all already observed something like these late potentials, but had not abolished them on a systematical base. And then, of course, we try to map ventricular tachycardias. This is well known to all of us. And this VT characterization has been now really improved tremendously. We learned about that in the previous talk. And this is combined, and this is also important when we talk about the studies later. This is combined and sometimes also exclusively used by substrates mapping. That means LAVA characterization, so coming really from the early days and then systematically from the Bordeaux group, elegantly worked on that. We all know about that. And recently, we learned that substrate mapping alone may even better than VT characterization from DiBiase and the group, so that in this, at least in this study and in their experience, the outcome was better if you did complete substrate-based ablation with complete abolition of late potentials, but mainly what they call homogenization of the scar, maybe even better than trying to characterize clinical VT. So there are different approaches around this. We also have to consider this when we talk about studies in a second. So what kind of studies are available? What kind of studies have been published? So there's one small meta-analysis on those studies who were published at that time, and there are not too many published since then. So we know about SMASH-VT, which was the first randomized trial, which really had the scope to investigate the impact of so-called prophylactic VT ablation, which is a little bit misleading, this term. We know that that means that these patients are ischemic VT patients who already had a hemodynamically unstable event and then were allocated to receive an ICD. And then during the study, it has been changed that also those who had an ICD already and who had recurrent episodes were included. And I think two important points on this study, at least two important points. One, that there was no antiarrhythmic drug treatment part of the protocol, and that only three centers participated, which led to a really excellent, at that time, really excellent outcome for the ablation arm, which is really dramatically good. One has to really congratulate the group, although it's more than 10 years ago, for these excellent results. Other trials, the one initiated by Professor Cook, the VTEC trial. The VTEC trial looked at patients who had not not unstable but stable VT and also remote myocardial infarction. Ejection fraction was was a really rather lenient boundary, up to 50%. So there was a broad range of patients with impaired or only slightly impaired left ventricular function. Patients were randomized to ICD only or ICD versus ablation. And you can see from the first glance that the event rate was much higher than observed in SMASH-VT. Also in the control group was much higher, despite the fact that 30% of the patients received antiarrhythmic drug treatment. So there is a huge difference and a huge range with regard to the events in these trials. And these two trials nicely underscore this. So there was an advantage for ablation, but the difference, and this reflects also what we see in other trials, the difference between ablation and non-ablation was not that dramatically, although it reached statistical significance. So with the time to the first VF event being significantly lower in the ablation group than in the ICD-only group. So the next slide summarizes those trials which were available at that time. Basically, the two big trials, and you see that big trials with regard to what you can expect in the VT population, since we all know how difficult it is to conduct this trial and to include patients. So, the relative risk for VT recurrence is significantly lower in those who are ablated on top of ICD implantation, but there was no evidence, no sign that mortality and other outcome parameters are significantly influenced and improved. So VANISH is in the title of this talk, and when we talk about VANISH 2, we have to also talk about VANISH 1. VANISH 1 was a trial which investigated the impact of catheter ablation compared to patients who are, all those patients had already antiarrhythmic drug treatment, who have an intensified medical treatment, either with a higher dose of amiodarone or other antiarrhythmic drug like mexiletine. So in this trial, and this is a little bit following the line of VTAC, you see that the difference between the ablation and the non-ablation or the escalated conservative treatment group is relevant and is significant, but the difference between the groups is around 10%, so not really dramatically. So what does that mean considering the current guidelines? It means that catheter ablation is recommended in the ESC guidelines with a 2A level in those who have an ICD and recurrent VTVF. The more recent guidelines, ACC, HA, HIS guidelines, they put this on a higher level with a 1B indication for those with symptomatic sustained VT, and for the first time for the VT setting, the first line treatment, what we sometimes call prophylactic treatment, is mentioned with a 2B indication. So what is the basis for this? What are the real strong arguments for this, for really early ablation of ventricular tachycardia ablation? So when we go back to VTAC, we see that those, and these are the 2 points, if we have a look at the left ventricular ejection fraction and at the timing of ablation, so we see that those who have a not really significantly, not dramatically reduced left ventricular function, that those patients benefit more compared to those who have a severely impaired left ventricular function. So that may be one argument to introduce catheter ablation earlier. Another trial here showing a non-randomized fashion that those patients, if you ablate them from Maori and co-workers, if you ablate those who have a well-preserved ejection fraction, that those patients have a really very low rate of sudden cardiac death, so that you can ablate them even without putting them an ICD in. So some arguments for doing this in an early phase when the ejection fraction is not significantly impaired. What about the timing? So there are data from Leipzig, there are data also from Marcinski's group showing that the rather early referral, that these patients with the rather early referral, that they have a better outcome, better results than those when we come later after recurrent episodes, after a longer period, and early referral was the only predictive factor for favorable outcome of the ablation. So if we put all those studies together, and this is a more recent meta-analysis, we see that early compared to late, so there are the data from Leipzig, data from Marcinski's group and others, you see, and Romero and co-workers who also summarized these data for this meta-analysis, and you see that VT recurrence is lower, significantly lower in those who have been ablated early compared to those with a late ablation strategy. There's no change with regard to mortality, but the complication rate was lower, and the acute success rate, there was a tendency to improve success, but also not significant. So coming back to the two trials which are mentioned in the title, VANISH 2, when I looked for VANISH 2, I was very happy that I found the definitive publication of VANISH 2. But I was a little bit surprised when I had looked at the authors and at the title, and then I realized that it was published in a journal which is not really our main journal for cardiac arrhythmia. So we really have to be very careful with VANISH 2, because it showed that in varicosis, a special treatment with a microfoam had some advantage. So this may be also relevant for us and our patients, but not for this session. So there are two VANISH 2 trials around. And if we have a look at the VANISH 2 trial, which we are looking for, we see that in this trial, the new aspect compared to VANISH 1 is that we are looking for the outcome and the impact of catheter ablation in those patients who do not have any antiarrhythmic treatment so far. So naive patients who undergo catheter ablation compared to just ICD implantation, and then they look at the composite outcome of death and arrhythmia recurrences and other other aspects like VT storm. So current status of the trial, started 2.5 years ago. Recruitment is not finished. 366 patients are targeted, and it will last until 22. So I come to Berlin VT. Berlin VT, the name is of course perfect for this location here, sponsored by Biotronic, initiated together with Professor Cook. The Berlin VT trial really should have a look at the question whether it makes sense to ablate ventricular tachycardia on a prophylactic, or let's better say on an early basis, with regard to all-cause mortality, unplanned hospital admission for congestive heart failure, or symptomatic VTVF, compared to rather late or deferred catheter ablation after a third ICD shock. This was the primary objective, this combined endpoint of the trial, and there are a couple of secondary objectives. So the inclusion criteria, classic, that means remote myocardial infarction. Ejection fraction was limited between 30 and 50 because we learned from the VTAC trial that those with an ejection fraction below 30 did not benefit. So at that time when the study was conducted, it was decided to put this range on the basis of these data. And of course they had to have an ICD indication for secondary prevention. So that's the study flowchart for this patient. In was in July 2015. Many of those around here, of the centers around here, participated. Thank you very much for your contribution at that point. I have want to stress this. And so 208 patients were calculated and were randomized in a one-to-one fashion, prophylactic ablation versus ablation, deferred ablation. So there were two interim analyses planned and performed, and I now want to come to the current status of the trial. So the first one was performed in March last year after 68 patients, 68% of the patients were included, and it was the strategy to continue with the trial. Then the second interim analysis was performed after another subset of patients were included, so overall 78%, and at that point the study was stopped due to futility at that time, so that recruitment was not continued because it was found by the data safety monitoring board that the planned or the target of the trial was not, it was not very likely that this was would have been reached. So the current status is that the data are still under investigation and are still part of the statistical evaluation, so we cannot communicate those. It's the plan to communicate it at the Heart Rhythm Society meeting latest in spring this year. So far we can say that 161 patients were included. Most of them were male, ejection fraction 40%, so markedly higher than in the previously stressed trials. Amiodarone in 33% of the population was disused, so that was also expected. And they had a rather state-of-the-art concomitant medication. So what means futility? Futility is, of course, a very bad word. It makes no sense to continue, does that mean? But it also means that this difference is not as strong as it was originally assumed. It does not mean at that time, and it's also important to stress this before we have the complete data set, we have to stress that there was not an issue with safety of catheter ablation. It does not also does not mean that there's no difference between the two strategies, but it was not possible, and that's what we can say today, it was not possible in the boundaries and in the scenario of this study and of the methodology of this study to reach a statistical significance. So I'd like to briefly summarize. We know about the bad aspect of ICD shocks and the prognostic impact. So of course we have to improve our ICD programming, that's clear, but also have to improve catheter ablation, because we have seen, apart from a couple of studies where we can see that those patients who have completely non-inducibility of VT or a small amount of involved centers, then we have higher success rate, but the average success rate is still around 60-70% after 12 months in ischemic VT. We know that recurrence can be reduced, that VT ablation is better than antiarrhythmic drug treatment, and that's also something we can say for sure, but there's no impact on mortality, and we have all the information from non-randomized trials and also from those who have looked at the different ejection fraction, that it's of course good to ablate earlier, but we do not have the basis on this with regard to prophylactic, so-called prophylactic ablation from the randomized trials so far. So that means that we still have to work hard. We also have to look, of course, in detail at the data, which will be available soon, especially from Berlin VT, but also from other ongoing trials. There's also the trial in Milan working on this. And of course, we have to continue to improve our technologies to reach the aim of successful and hopefully also early catheter ablation. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for this excellent overview of the ongoing trials. Questions from the audience? And I would like to start off with one question. Just going back to practical issues. So in your hospital, how you handle your patients who have received an ICD, do you perform prophylactic ablation, early ablation, or how long do you wait for the first episode, ATP termination, shock termination? What is your strategy? Is there an SOP, how you go on with the patients?
I think it's still a very individualized approach. So, of course, the tendency is, or I think it's very important to stress this. I mean, we're here in an expert panel, but if you talk to your referring physician, I think it's very important to build up networks for really early referral, to really have a close and detailed workup on these patients and look for reasons of the ICD shock. If the shock is due to a monomorphic VT, and if ICD programming and ischemia, antiarrhythmic treatment, everything is perfect. I wouldn't say it's needed to have them on amiodarone, but if you have had a close look at this patient, I would wait for like one episode. I think that's clinically okay to do this, but then with the first episode, do a close workup and then encourage patients, but also referring physicians, to send the patient at least after the first episode. So with the recurrent episode, I would go for ablation. If you see, and that's what I mean with individualized approach, if you see that this patient has a dramatic hemodynamic situation with the VT, if you see that that there's a cluster of VT, if the patient moves into the direction of electrical storm, of course you have to be more aggressive with your approach. If it's just, I would say, one single episode in a patient who had the ICD, for example, for 2-3 years, I wouldn't say that we now have to go for ablation immediately. Yeah, but in general, I think we are still not in this round, but with our colleagues from other referring hospitals, we are still rather late with the introduction of catheter ablation.
So you would definitely prefer, let's say, after 2 or 3 single episodes, VT ablation over introducing amiodarone?
Yes, in general, yes, I would do so. And I would, and with the ATP, of course, ATP is not that solid with regard to outcome parameters, ATP episodes. But if someone comes with a plenty of ATP episodes, and you see that he may, or the patient may, yeah, move into electrical storm situation, then also ATP is a good reason, or recurrent ATP is of course a good reason to go for catheter ablation. Yeah, so in general, I think we are still too late, not in this room, but in the field outside. Although the data we have on the prophylactic side are not that robust, we must say that. Yeah.
Stefan, I completely agree with you that, and I don't believe in amiodarone in structural VT patients. It just doesn't work. It slows down the VT, but the incidences do not really get lower. So I completely agree that we need to increase our efforts to get the patient into the specialized centers as soon as possible. And there is one thing that wasn't addressed yet, but I mean, these patients don't die from their shocks, but they die due to progression of their structural heart disease. And I think we really have to increase our efforts to treat and optimize heart failure medication in these VT patients. And that is one part of a VT unit hospital, that it's not only ablation, it's not only doing coronary angiography or anything, but it's treating the patient and optimizing heart failure. And I think that we can optimize outcome and mortality in these patients by that.
Yeah, probably we need larger trials, and of course it will be. I have to be a little bit cryptic on the Berlin VT trial, because we really don't know so far why this the study had to be stopped due to futility. So we really have to look in detail into the data. How good was catheter ablation in this trial? How was the event rate in both groups? So there are many questions, still many open questions. So we're very anxious to see the presentation of the trial during the HRS meeting, hopefully.
Any questions? If not, thank you very much, Stefan.